Welcome to the 11th episode of the It's Been Said podcast. I'm your host, SAI Executive Director Lisa Ramey. Each show is dedicated to conversations on leadership as we further SAI's mission to support, encourage, and develop Iowa's educational leaders and learners. We're excited this month to welcome Perry Elementary Principal Dr. Ryan Marzen. Dr. Marzen has been instrumental in using the computer science grant dollars to get a large number of his staff the computer science endorsement. Welcome, Ryan. We're so excited to have you on our podcast today.
Hey, thank you so much for the opportunity. I'm excited to talk some computer science today.
Yeah, awesome. Well, we'll just jump right in. So, Ryan, how did Perry Elementary School use the $220,000 grant to support its computer science professional development program?
Yeah, you know, to tell a little bit about the story there with our computer science, a number of years ago, there was a Computer Science is Elementary initiative that Dr. Ann Lebo and Governor Reynolds presented out to about a dozen elementary schools. And at the time, computer science was just becoming a little bit more prevalent in elementary education and education. And actually, my mother-in-law was the one who sent over the link of saying, hey, Ryan, you got to look into this. This is going to be like the next big thing there. And at the time, you know, I didn't really know much about computer science, how it was applicable to the elementary. And I think there's a lot of people the same way at the elementary that were thinking the same thing. But nevertheless, it was probably what was best for students there. Ended up applying and getting the $50,000 award there. And then over the course of the next couple of years, it was all about implementing computer science. And one of the things I think for ourselves here is our staff over the last couple of years has been able to gain a little bit more in their toolkit with understanding why computer science is applicable. It's becoming kind of like one of those buzzwords here in education where, you know, what computer science skills are you embedding into your instruction, or are you doing a standalone computer instruction? And so we kind of got a pretty big head start there with the computer sciences elementary. And so it was a really positive thing for our elementary at the time. When we were finished with that grant here 2 years ago, published our computer sciences elementary, we called it a blueprint here for the state so other schools could check to see what our elementary participated in with computer science. And we were kind of wondering, what's that next step there? And what can we do? And at the time, Justin Lewis, who's the computer science department of education head there at the state, was able to put together a computer science professional development fund, but also a computer science endorsement fund. And so for ourselves, we started looking into it and thinking, okay, how many teachers would be interested in this? And at the time, our teaching staff was really pretty excited about computer science. A lot of people in our community were really excited about it as well. And so we looked into the computer science grant there and ended up starting to garner some interest with our staff. And so whatever time we ever try to do a pitch with staff, it's always trying to create a win-win for a teacher and student, and obviously with administration and all that. And for ourselves, it was a perfect win-win scenario for a lot of our teachers. They knew this was what's best for students, being able to get a college level endorsement there that they could get I think it's 278 and 279 for K-5 and then 612, get two endorsements within 13 credits. It's kind of like a no brainer. A lot of those teachers, they can move over on the pay scales. They know it's what's best for kids. For an administrator, it's awesome because, you know, it's, you know, obviously what's great for our school system. And so we presented out to staff, and at the elementary school, we have about 75 teachers on our teaching staff at the elementary. And so very large building, and about half of those teachers were interested in learning more about that opportunity. So came to those initial meetings and started learning about computer science and what we would be doing and how it would apply to them. Reached out to Drake, Northwestern College, UNI. Those were the three schools at the time that had the computer science endorsement. Northwestern just kind of aligned best with us here at Central Iowa. A lot of our teachers wanted the 8-week online package there. They loved how obviously it was more of a cohort setup for our teams. And so a lot of the things Northwestern could do could be tailored towards our elementary school with what they're currently doing or what they're interested in. And so all 30 teachers ended up going to Northwestern, which is a really cool thing. And then just working with with them. It's just been a really awesome partnership for us. And so we put all of our eggs into that basket there for the computer science endorsement to get our teaching staff more endorsements. Ideally, when I first started doing this and thinking about it with our admin team, we're trying to think maybe one person per grade level. And we're pretty fortunate that almost every one of our departments with grade levels, special ed, education, English language learner title, we had some type of representative in every one of those departments, plus a little bit more, which was a really cool thing for our elementary. So we utilize all that money into Northwestern College, which has been an awesome partnership for us to be able to get into the computers or their graduate school so then they can get their computer science endorsements.
Yeah, well, that's fantastic. Fantastic. What were the key objectives and goals of the program, Ryan?
Yeah, you know, with our computer science, after we had that computer sciences elementary, like I said, we were hoping for a little bit more there of what else could we be doing in our instruction. And I truly believe our teaching staff is right up there in the 99th percentile of what we do with computer science for our students. And so we're always wondering, what can we do a little bit more with computer science? And so for myself, when myself and the principal at the time, Mr. Menke, when we're trying to sell that to staff about computer science, this is what we need to do. Well, it was a little bit easier sell for us when they had the computer sciences elementary. It was such a positive initiative that we have. It was a really easy sell for us to say, hey, you know what, we want to improve and hone on our instruction with computer science. And so for us, one of the goals has always been trying to embed that into instruction. My superintendent, Mr. Wicks, he is a tremendous man. He's awesome, a great mentor. And he had one thing that stuck with me. He said, Ryan, if you're trying to add another Davenport in the living room, you're not going to find any space. It's like a teacher's plate. They have 100 things on their plate. You just can't add something. So you got to figure out a way to embed it and thread the needle. And it made a lot of sense at the time of, I can't add another thing onto that teacher's plate. And so how can we embed that? And so the objective for us has always been trying to embed it rather than create a standalone for our computer science. And so, for example, if you are working on, math instruction, and you're working on sequencing, or reading instruction with sequencing, you can always add some CSTA standards with computer science with sequencing. So maybe you're doing some block coding, then tying that in with, like, for example, our three little pig unit for our lower elementary. And so you can always infuse some of that computer science within the instruction that you're already doing, which I think that's been probably the biggest objective for us. So it's not adding more to our teacher's plate, but also trying to revamp and re-enhance our what we currently do with our literacy and mathematics.
So can you provide a little more specifics around the curriculum used and resources that then your teachers implemented?
Yeah. So for ourselves here is what we have done over the last couple of years is create a curriculum map. And so every grade level has a different curriculum map of what they are working on for their CSTA standards. And so a lot of schools, when you first get, your computer science and you're implementing it, Mary Trent, who is with computer science, who is awesome, part of the grant, she said every school wants to BBOT students to death. And so what she means by that is every teacher, you kind of don't know what you're doing there. You're grabbing some BBOTs, you heard a little bit about it, but then every teacher has the same BBOT lesson. Well, the following year, I always think if you're a kindergartner, you got that BBOT lesson, a first grade teacher did the same BBOT lesson. When you get to first grade, you can't do the same lesson. So how can you enhance that lesson? And so maybe you're doing CVC words and they're trying to block code through there. And then maybe then they get to second grade and then they're enhancing that. And so for the past couple of years, the students are getting more and more computer science background, which that's what we expected with students going through. And, it takes about 6 years for us to be able to see where those students are when they start as a kindergartner, got that computer science background to fifth grade for us is obviously they're going to have a little bit more background with computer science. And so what we've tried to do is obviously add more robotics to obviously make it fresh. So they're not just seeing the same old lessons, having our teams talk about computer science, how can they bring groups in to be able to talk about how computer science is applicable to them in their workplace. And so a lot of that's been with our computer science with robotics for ourselves, Tinker and Codable for our K2 and Tinker for 3.5, some web-based applications. Those have kept it really fresh for us as well, just because with our students, they are able to track where they're at with their lines of code and their projects that they've done, their certificates that they've earned. And so we kind of have a little bit of a three-prong attack there, just with obviously our web-based application, robotics, and then obviously us reviewing our curriculum maps and how can we continue to make it fresh. And so some of the tools that we've gotten out, you know, when we first implemented those computer science, everyone wanted to grab a BBot. And so BBots were the coolest thing. And so then, you know, everyone's seen the BBots a little bit. So students know, you know, how to run them. So what can you do in addition to the BBots? And so then we end up getting some Dash and Dots, Osmos, Kubelets, Ozobots, Makey Makeys, Spheros. And so with that, that's kept it fresh. And it's also helped a lot of our teaching staff, obviously, be able to gravitate towards some of those different robotics that they feel comfortable using or learning, which then obviously makes it really exciting for the students. And so I always think for a computer science lesson, when you tell the elementary students, hey, we're going to do a computer science lesson, their eyes just light up because they're really excited, obviously, to either work with robotics, get on Tinker or Codable. Maybe it's doing an unplugged lesson like block coding on a piece of paper, but they get super excited. And for our staff, obviously, for the curriculum side of it, it's continually going back to those curriculum maps and updating those curriculum maps while also providing some new robotics there to keep it fresh for our teaching staff as well.
Yeah. So we all know how important it is to measure the success of any program. How have you measured success of your computer science implementation?
Yeah, some of the quantitative stuff that we've looked at over the years was with our web-based applications, Tinker and Codable, is how many lines of code are they doing? And so for ourselves, obviously, we want our teachers implementing that, but the more comfortable they get with it and they figure out ways to embed it, whether it's in small group instruction, if they're doing like the three-ring circus in our elementary, in our lower elementary, is, you know, maybe that small group independent time they're doing a computer science lesson. And so ways that we've measured it quantitatively, lines of code, like this past year, we had over 800,000 lines of code at our elementary. We have about 900 students, but you know, the amount of lines of code and the number of projects they've done has grown substantially over the last couple of years. And so our first year, we were like right around, I think like 100,000 in like 2019. And so now, you know, the goal would obviously try to get up to about 1 million lines of code, which it's just kind of a cool number for us. And so that quantitatively, that's one thing. We look at how many checkouts happen with our BBots or Dash and Dots, Spheros. And so our library has all of our robotics. And so the teacher's going to go in and check out robotic. They check it out from the library. They have a barcode, they scan it. So over the years, we've seen an uptick, obviously, of which robotics are being used the most, which ones aren't being used as much. And so for us, our instructional coaches and myself can look at and say, oh, I saw that our roots haven't been checked out that much. So maybe we can do a quick 30-minute PD lesson on how to implement a root into your instruction. Or, you know, if we notice the BBots are just getting checked out a ton, then how can we implement some different lessons? And so utilizing our instructional coaches to create lessons, provide those resources to the teaching staff as well. And so those have been two good ways to measure that. I think a variable that has helped us with our ISAS scores, we are a high performing school here. And so I do think that's not the sole reason, but I do think that's a positive variable that gets thrown into the mix there for us of something that we know that we're doing a really high level instruction with. And for us, I do think it does increase our test scores, and there's some positive spin with that for us. I don't think it's negatively taking away from our testing. And so I do think it's made them more, I'd say, complex thinkers, more creative thinking. And so when you're looking at some of these ISAS questions, they're being able to think outside the box to be able to try to solve those. And so I think, like I said, just the amount of checkouts, lines of code we have, and then obviously trending with our ISAS test scores, I think it's all been in the positive spin. And one of the things that's been in the mix there, when our test scores have gone up, it's when we've infused more computer science into our instruction.
Congratulations on the high performing.
Yeah, we were really excited about that at the elementary school, but I think that's a testament to staff. And like I said, no, it's a, I think computer science is one variable part of that equation there with some of the things that we do that made that positive spin for us.
Yeah, for sure. So we all know that anytime we implement, there may be challenges that we are faced with. So what were some of those challenges that you were faced with during implementation, and how did you overcome those challenges?
Yeah, you know, I was actually thinking about this kind of like the demystification. A guy at TAI Technology, he was telling me the demystification of computer science. And it's truly, that was probably the biggest hurdle that our teaching staff have. I know that was the biggest hurdle for myself, and my mother-in-law is telling me about computer science. It's out one ear, out the other. And so it's just like, you know, how is this applicable? Why are we doing this? What's the purpose of this? And so initially that was a lot of the questions of, hey, why are we implementing computer science? Why do we have to do this? Hey, you know, I got a 75-minute literacy block. How do I add another thing in there? How does that apply to literacy? How does it apply to math? And so for ourselves, I think the demystification was the big one. And I think that's the biggest challenge for any administrator, any teacher, is what's the purpose of this? Why are we doing this? And so obviously having a very clear narrative of this is important, this is here to stay, you know, talk to any community business, computer science is probably something they're talking about. It's something that, you know, if Governor Reynolds ever has a state of education address, he always talks about computer science. Obviously with the initiatives, I think if they are putting these grants out for computer science, you know, obviously these are very coveted things that we would like to get on top of. I also think that, you know, for ourselves is what's best for students there. When teaching staff realizes, and administration too, realizes that computer science is so beneficial for these kids to make them competitive when they get into that workforce and make them 21st century learners and having those 21st century skills, it's a no-brainer. And so I'd say the demystification was the big one for us. The second biggest hurdle, which we're currently in here, is those curriculum maps that we talked about, is that every year they come in with a little bit more information. And so you can't do that same lesson that that first grade teacher did, or you can't do that same root lesson that that fourth grade teacher did. And so then obviously we're constantly updating those curriculum maps because kids are coming in with more and more information and more background with computer science. And so, you know, our first year, if you were to bring in one of our robotics, like a Sephiro, and you were to bring it into class, you know, the kids would have the, they'd be like looking at it like, this is really cool. Well, now you might be bringing it in. The kids are already talking, oh, we might be doing this lesson, or we might be doing this, or this is how this can apply to this. And so now for our teaching staff, obviously it's looking at, well, how can we enhance these lessons and, you know, make them a little bit more rigorous for the grade levels that are working with those kids, or the teachers working with those kids. So I'd say demystification was that first big hurdle, which I think a lot of school districts are probably going to be battling there of just like, why do we have to be doing this? And then once you obviously implement, it's a really easy, like, oh, why haven't we been doing this a lot sooner before? Then it's constantly, well, the other grade levels are teaching this, or the grade level prior to us is teaching this. Well, then how am I going to enhance this next lesson that I'm going to teach? And so that has been obviously a big challenge that we've had to overcome over the last few years. And it's something that we continually want to look at. But for myself, I think that's just really good programming because you should constantly be revamping and re-enhancing your literacy block, your math block. You know, we're not just trying to do the same old redundant thing. We're going to try to put better practices in to make it more rigorous. And so for ourselves, it's obviously just re-examining that and making sure that what we're teaching those kids with their computer science is applicable to where they're at with their computer science journey.
Thank you. So how did the program enhance teaching skills and knowledge of the teachers there at Perry Elementary School?
Yeah, you know, I always like the tools in the toolkit analogy. I'm a big guy on that of, you know, it's another tool in their toolkit. One of the things when we were talking about the computer science endorsement and, you know, half of our teaching staff initially going in to think, hey, I'm going to learn a little bit more about computer science. Well, one of the things that was kind of like an unintended positive of this is that for a lot of our teaching staff who went into it, they didn't have a master's. And so when they go in and they're halfway towards a master's at Northwestern because they got a free computer science endorsement, it makes it a lot more attractive to continue to go to school or continually go to school and then finish up your master's program. And so I think that's a big win, obviously, for our teaching staff to move over on our pay scales, but also more importantly, to be able for them to be able to have more skills that they can put in their toolkits. I think one of the best parts about a master's program, a doctoral program, or any type of cohort programming is the people that you get to meet and the connections that you get to make, being able to bounce off ideas, learning from each other, learning from other schools and where they're at and how you can help them and how they can help you. I think some of the best professional learning that anyone can get, whether it's a teacher or administrator. And so for ourselves, obviously, it's been super beneficial for our teachers to put another tool in their toolkit. I think it's a big win for our students at Perry Elementary School because it makes them that much more competitive. Obviously, when they get a little bit older and they have that computer science background. And so I think it's a big win for our staff, big win for our students. And for myself here, just trying to think about, gosh, computer science, it is just so beneficial to our students here. And so for ourselves, it's like I said, once you start implementing it, you figure out that, man, wow, why haven't I been doing this? It's a no-brainer. And so I think a lot of our teaching staff, obviously with the buzz about computer science, have really embraced that and met that challenge head on.
So were there any specific projects or initiatives that you undertook as a school throughout this time?
Yeah, the Computer Science Elementary Blueprint was our big initiative back in, I want to say 2018 when it first came out, 2018 or 2019. And so there was about a 15-page application we put into the state about how we'd implement computer science, how we'd learn from some of the computer science schools like Los Hills Computer Science in Sioux City. And so the Computer Science Blueprint or the Computer Sciences Elementary Initiative was our first big undertaking. It's implementing computer science within our school. That was our big initiative of just trying to implement it. And so now where we're at with our process is that enhancement. So now we've implemented computer science into our school. I'm very confident every single classroom is getting computer science. Every single child's getting some computer science skills, which is obviously really exciting because that's the first step is making sure every kid's getting those skills. Well, now it's, you know, going into the enhancement of those curriculum maps of, hey, what are we currently doing and how can we enhance that, make it more rigorous so that when they get up to middle school and the middle school program at our middle school and high school is very high level, that they know what they need to do. And obviously more and more kids going into those college level courses once they get into high school with computer science would be one of the big indicators for us of a lot of good success. And obviously we won't know that until about 4 or 5 years when that first initial crop from the elementary got up to the high school there. But for ourselves, the first big initiative was that computer science elementary, creating a blueprint, which is good reflection of what we currently do and where we want to go. And so I'd say that computer science elementary initiative was our first big undertaking. And now obviously completing our computer science grant here is once we finish up, we're going to have, I think, 16 teachers finish up the 12 credits here, or the 12 or 13 credit courses, depending if they're getting one endorsement or two endorsements, but then finding that next crop of teachers that are interested in doing this.
Yeah, you mentioned that every classroom, you're pretty confident at Perry Elementary that they're getting some computer science. So how did you bring other staff members along in this journey that didn't go through the Northwestern program?
Yeah, you know, one of the things I think with teaching staff, one of the cool things with our teaching staff, so we have a large teaching staff of 75. We have a really big building. And so we have lots of different pockets and we call them pods of teachers. So we have 6 kindergarten teachers, 6 first grade, 6 second grade, 6 third grade, and yada, yada, yada on it. And so one of the things we found out is that when you get one or two teachers really enthusiastic about it, it sells it off to the other teachers. And so for myself, you know, initially in 2018, when you're trying to sell that to staff with the demystification of computer science, why we should be doing it. Well, it's a lot easier to sell if the neighbor next to you is saying, hey, you should do this computer science lesson. It's really cool. Kids were going home talking about it. They're really excited. Parents come in, talk about it. It's a lot easier sell to those teaching staff, especially when they finally end up doing it. They're like, wow, this is super applicable to what we're doing. And so fortunately for us with a large teaching staff, for us to be able to kind of turn that tide, we just have to get those pockets of people in there that are really excited about it. And then obviously it's just one of those where it's kind of like a domino effect of everyone wants to kind of learn a little bit more about computer science. And so the buzz kind of generates from kindergarten to first grade to our title team. Our special ed teacher might be walking into there to pull a student. They might check to see the B-bots out and think, what's going on here, you know, and what are you doing here? And so I think it just naturally generates that own buzz. And then for ourselves, one of the coolest things for myself is seeing general ed teachers, obviously they're the main ones implementing it, but going into an EL classroom and then them implementing computer science lessons. And I just think that's a really cool thing, because then those kids are really excited to go back and say, hey, we did this Osmo lesson, or we did this BBot lesson, and it just generates more buzz. And so for ourselves, obviously, when you see a student so excited about their learning, pretty easy win. Teachers really understand when they start seeing the students. Then obviously when the teacher next door is doing a computer science lesson, kids are running out the doors really thrilled and excited about the lesson. The teacher's wondering, hey, why are they so pumped up and happy? Tell them about the lesson you just did. Obviously, it's a pretty easy win for us. We're pretty fortunate to have a really good instructional coaching team as well. They've been able to create new lessons, go into the classrooms to help teachers out who might be unsure about a lesson. For administration, we always tell them, hey, it's okay to fail. You're going to have some rocky lessons with computer science, which is totally a cool thing. I've always told my staff, if I'm walking in and you're doing a computer science lesson, it is like just a train wreck of a lesson, I'm going to be more pumped that you obviously attempted one of those lessons. And so giving them that opportunity to fail, to be able to learn. For myself, it's been awesome, because first you're kind of the salesman, the used car salesman of trying to tell them, hey, all about computer science. Now I have 16 teachers here that know more about computer science than I do. And so it's been a really cool thing to see them become the experts in computer science, and for me to be able to watch that happen. And so it's been a really cool thing at the elementary.
Yeah. So you kind of mentioned this before. Talk a little bit more about how the grant benefited your students at Perry Elementary in terms of not only their computer science skills, but then their overall academic performance.
Yeah, one of the things I think with any student in elementary school is obviously they become more confident in everything that they're doing. They're confident in tackling complex problems. Probably the coolest thing as an elementary principal that I've seen is over the last 7 years of being a principal, students want that immediate gratification of if they got it right or wrong. And so if you're doing a math problem, you just want to know right away, hey, was this right or wrong? Computer science, when they're block coding, they're thinking multi-steps ahead, and they're trying to think about, okay, well, maybe I didn't block code this right. Well, let me start this over and redo this. And so for ourselves here, I think kids have not only become more confident, but they've also learned to be able to be a bit more of a risk taker. They've learned some perseverance, just because when you're doing computer science, or if you're coding something, you're going to fail a lot of times, which is totally okay. But then you're going to go back at it and try to figure out that process. And that's not always the thing for literacy or math, that they just can't get that math problem, that algorithm or lattice method or whatever it may be. In computer science, kids become very resilient in what they do. And so you might pose a problem to them. They might get it wrong the first 50 times, but that 51st time, they're super excited about it. And so to be able to see them continually, obviously, become more resilient, more confident in their abilities, I do think it makes them more complex thinkers, more analytical thinkers there, because you are thinking multi-steps ahead. And it's really cool to talk to them about, hey, what are you thinking here? What's your thought process here? And just engaging them of what's going on through their mind with how they're going to tackle it. For myself, whenever I do any subbing in the building, I always like to do a computer science, an unplugged lesson, because it's an easy way to get 25 sheets there. Kids are excited. I just love being able to put that in front of them and then block coding through and try to debug different problems and ask them like, hey, what do you think here? And you're putting it on them rather than you telling them how to get to the answer. And so what I've seen here is just kids just become much more resilient. Over the years, what I've seen here with our students taking those Iowa assessments there is kids are more, I would say and this is more qualitative, but they're more prone to, if they don't know an answer, to try to figure out outside the box of how I can answer this. And so whether it's deductive reasoning or whether it's just trying to use supporting details, but they have become a little bit more resilient in, hey, this might be a tough problem, but hey, you know what? I've done these tough problems before. I'm going to use these different I'm going to use this different critical thinking skills that I can utilize to try to solve this problem. And so even just over the course of the years with just our students testing, we have students test multi hours just because they are, obviously More resilient, and they don't need that instant gratification over the years. And that's just something I've noticed just qualitatively for myself. But it's been really interesting. I think computer science obviously has been a variable with that, of letting them know that, hey, you know what, it's okay to fail. You can, you know, once you redo that block coding or redo that coding, you know, they're really excited to attempt it at number two to see if they can get even further than attempt number three. Like I said, it might be attempt 51 when they finally get it, but they're super excited to do that. And it's really exciting for me as a principal. I know for our teaching staff, it's really cool to see. The other cool thing is with computer science is for us at the elementary school, and kids are just generally excited to be at school as well. But they always want to tackle on that next project. And so it might not be the same there with literacy and math. And, you know, we have some kids that love grabbing that next book to read. I have yet to meet a student that doesn't want to tackle on that next computer science project. And so I've yet to see in a classroom, hey, Dr. Marsden, I'm done with this codable. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm done coding. No, they always want to tackle that next project. And so I think that's a really cool thing. And they're just constantly engaged. And so I think for us, it's been a really cool thing there to help kids become more resilient, more confident, complex thinkers. It's been a slam dunk for us at the elementary.
How do you envision this will help Perry students in their future?
You know, we have something, we have a board retreat with our school board and administration and cabinet members. And this past year, we went to Progressive Foundry in Perry, Iowa, which is a really cool business to walk through and talk about different challenges they have, what their business is, learn a little bit more about local businesses. But one of the things they brought up was computer science. And they said, if any of those students want to get a computer science degree, if they pass one class, we are going to be offering them a job, but we can't even offer them a job so fast because John Deere and Principal and all these other companies are already scooping them up because there's just such a need of that. And so I think for our students, obviously getting, encouraging them, and I would say planting that seed for computer sciences might be a pathway for them. And so I think for the elementary school and our demographics here, obviously getting more marginalized populations, getting more females into computer science, and obviously just growing that computer science field is obviously the ultimate goal, and making sure that we can meet those demands for jobs that might currently not exist right now, but will definitely exist in 5 to 10 years. And so for us, it's trying to get ahead of the curve for those kids because we want to make computer science a really positive and fun thing, exciting thing that they want to be part of. So when they get up into middle school and high school, and they start thinking about, hey, what do you want to do? Like, you know what? I really love that coding. I love using robotics. I love being able to do some block coding or whatever it is hopefully that computer science is kind of stuck in their head of like, maybe this is a field I'd like to get into. And so I think it's making a positive experience for them, but also letting them know, hey, there are a lot of different pathways that you can go with computer science. And so I would say that would be one of the ultimate goals for us. And for us, it's just trying to make sure that they know that there are all these different jobs and employment opportunities out there for them, where it's such a high need field, where if it's something you're super passionate about, you're going to be able to find a job. It's going to be a very well-paying job as well, but it's going to be something that they're going to be super passionate about, that they love going to work and love doing what they do.
So you mentioned the partnership with Northwestern at the beginning of our conversation today. Were there any other collaborations or partnerships established with, you know, external, whether businesses or other education entities, experts to help support your programming?
Yeah. So when we did our computer science initiative, this is where I think was a really awesome thing for us, is when we did the computer science initiative, one of the components was partnerships. And so first we want to start with local partnerships. So we looked at Progressive Foundry, some farms, you know, our businesses like Hy-Vee, Fairway, and pretty much computer science is in all these businesses. And so when you're talking to the department heads there, they might say, well, what's something that we do in our industry that you think might be computer science related? And computer science is just intertwined with everything. Like I said, sequencing, binary, non-binary numbers, et cetera, et cetera. And so one of the things that we found out is that there's a lot of things in our community, or a lot of businesses in our community, that are already doing computer science, whether they know that or not. And so that was a really exciting thing. And one of the things in Perry, Iowa, we have all the businesses in Perry, they want to step up anything to help the school and be partners with the school. They want to be able to help as much as they can. Even if, you know, I think of our local law enforcement, so they're like, hey, even if it's reading a Hello Ruby book, which is a computer science book, they want to be able to partner that with the elementary school. And then we have that next wave of people outside of Perry, Iowa. One of the businesses I think about, they come to our elementary, Make You Safe. They're out in Ankeny and so, or in Des Moines, but the man is from Ankeny, and they talk about computer science, about how computer science is applicable to them. And so then it's trying to grow those businesses outside of Perry, Iowa, so that students can see, well, this isn't just some businesses I see when I'm going past the mom and pop shop. These are businesses out in the metro and out in the real world applications that I can do. And so I think a lot of those partnerships have helped. What they've really bridged for us is showing those real world applications of, hey, these are what people currently do, and this is how computer science is so important to that. And so for us, the businesses and partnerships have created the real world application where, you know, students might learn about coding, they might learn about, you know, robotics and things, but then how do we apply that? And so getting those real world people to come into the building and being able to help out, talk a little bit about what they do and how it applies to computer science, really kind of, for us, pushes that needle for those students to really think about what are some careers that they want to do. And so, like I said, at the elementary level, you know, if you were to ask a student what they want to do, they're going to have 50 different occupations they want to do. But I'm hoping that 51st occupation is something with computer science. And so for ourselves, it's obviously just trying to plant that seed. So then give them a little bit of an opportunity to be able to think about maybe computer science is a field I'd like to go into.
Yeah. Well, again, kudos to you all. I mean, when I think about your response there and just alone the awareness that you're bringing to the Perry students on what options there are out there. You know, I think about when I grew up, I probably knew about what my mom did, what my dad did, and, you know, friends of theirs, maybe occupations, but to really explore other occupations, didn't do much of that as an elementary student that I can recall anyway. So
I grew up on a farm in Northern Iowa, and farming, I thought I'd just be a farmer, you know, and I thought, you know, the teachers in the community were rock stars because it's just a very small 1A school there. But for myself, kind of the same thing. You never thought about 50 different occupations you can do. For myself, grew up on a farm. We thought I'd just be a farmer the rest of my life until my parents were like, no, you got to go to college. And so, I would definitely agree with you on that.
Yeah, very good. All right. So what are any future plans and goals for the program, and how does Perry aim to sustain the progress made here?
Yeah, I think this upcoming year, we want to get more and more people excited about computer science. One of the things I have to do a better job at the elementary is marketing the computer science and some of the things that we do here. Get more partnerships within our community to obviously keep a little bit more fresh. But one of the things I would love for kids to be able to see is, you know, when they're going down those mom and pop shops in Perry, Iowa, is knowing how maybe they came into the classroom, had a really positive experience, hopefully tying in with some computer science, but making them more enthusiastic about things in our community as well. Getting more teachers, obviously, on board with computer science. With 75 teachers at our elementary school, usually we have about 5 to 10 teachers with some of our turnover there. And so it's onboarding a lot of those new teachers onto computer science. One of the blessings we have with 6 different grade level teachers, if you know one grade level teacher leaves and we get a new one in, we have 5 other teachers to onboard them. But for ourselves, it's making sure those teachers have the tools that they need to be equipped to be successful, but also telling them that demystification of, why do we do this? Why is it important? This is what we need to do. And so I'd say onboarding teachers as well. And I'd say probably the biggest thing that we have here for the sustainability is just trying to keep it fresh. You know, kids are still really excited. Kids are still pumped to do computer science. Our lines of code has obviously increased and kids are still enthusiastic about it. I'm sure at some point, whether it's 2, 3, 4 million lines, we don't want to code them to death where they're just like, I'm done coding. You know, we want to keep that fresh for them. And so at some point we're going to hit that sweet spot where, you know, when you're asking a kid, hey, do you want to code? They're not going to say, not really. You know, kids right now are enthusiastic to say, hey, I get to go on Codable and Tinker. Now we haven't got to that kid yet who says, I don't want to code, or I don't want to do this unplugged lesson, but eventually I'm sure we'll get there. And wherever that sweet spot is, obviously being able to pump the brakes a little bit and say, okay, peel back just a little bit here, but let's try to rehance some lessons or make a little bit more fresh. And so that's where it goes back to those curriculum maps, like I was talking about, is making sure we re-enhance those and look over them and reflect and reflect upon our practices there to make it a little bit better educational experience for our students. And so they're leaving with a positive insignia of computer science. And so we have a few different challenges, but like I said, I truly believe our elementary teaching staff is in that 99th percentile with computer science. And I believe our kids kind of have that leg up there compared to other kids just having that computer science background. But it's obviously making sure that we're enriching them a little bit more with computer science. So they're still excited about computer science.
Ryan, one last question for you. So if there's a listener who's thinking, I really want to make this happen in my school, what would you say should be a first step that someone would take?
So would it be like a teacher or administrator?
Administrator, probably.
If I'm an administrator, the first thing I want to do is I want to just see who are two or three teachers that are interested in some computer science. And one of the things I'd say is, for myself, I didn't know anything about BBots, block coding, binary, non-binary numbers. I didn't know anything about that. This is something my mother-in-law brought to me, as saying this is something that you should look into. But I would try to find two to three teachers. Let them know that, you know what, you might fail 25 times on this, you might fail 10 times or whatever it may be, but it's okay to fail. You're going to be learning as you go. It's something that's going to be able, or it's something that's going to stay here for the next 15 to 20 years. I'd call you crazy if you thought that, this is just one of those things that's going to pass by. The pendulum's going to swing the other way. It's going to stay here. And so I would just try to find two or three teachers that were really enthusiastic about it, get a few robotics and, partner with them with a lesson, get in the classroom, get in the trenches with those teachers and do a lesson with them. And so that's what I'd encourage any administrator to do. And then obviously once you see how excited the students are and you do that first lesson, you see how excited students are, you will realize like, gosh, we need to be doing this. And you'll realize it's a really cool thing that you're doing for kids. But more importantly, you know, it's the right thing that we're doing for kids. And so what I would say is just buy some type of robotics, BBots, Dash, Sphero, plan a lesson with maybe two or three teachers that might be interested, get in the trenches with the teacher, do the lesson, see the kids' faces, and you'll understand why you need to do more computer science. And it'll be an easy win for your staff, and it'll be an easy win for you once you realize like, wow, kids are really enthusiastic about it. They're pumped about this. This is what we need to be doing for students.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you for your leadership, Ryan. Gosh, those elementary students there in Perry are very fortunate to have you leading their building and teachers and bringing this to them so that they can be prepared for their future. So thank you so much. Thanks for giving of your time today as well.
Hey, thank you so much for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
Be sure to join us for the next episode as we welcome Iowa Workforce Training and Education Interim Division Administrator, Christopher Byam.